This is DJ Buddha Hannah.
And DJ Shovit, and we're happy to be speaking with Elena from indie pop band Tennis on KZSC Santa Cruz.
Hey!
Hi, we are so excited to be speaking with you. Just for context, we did this entire interview and our recording devices failed, so we are back for round two.
Yep, we're gonna do the whole thing again, scripted this time. Only I'm changing all my answers.
Shout out to Tennis for being so understanding.
Shout out to Mercury and
totally
Retrograde.
I can't emphasize enough, if my job was to record audio, it would never ever get done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, we are so excited to be speaking with you. We're really, really big fans, as you know. Your most recent album's tour, Swimmer, was postponed due to COVID, but now you are back on the road and you'll be playing Felton Music Hall this Saturday. Can you tell us about the experience of touring an album so long after it's been written?
Yeah, it's been really surreal, actually. It felt like everything was just kind of on this really long hold. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most unique things, I mean, it feels like we're kind of picking right back up where we left off before, but the thing that's changed the most about it is that I've always had a pretty complicated relationship with touring. I'm more of a studio person, and live is really hard for me I have really severe anxiety, and there's just so many variables with life on the road that it makes touring really hard for me, even though it's super rewarding. It's never been my favorite part of what we do. Mm-hmm. But now having it just taken away and it not even be an option to be a part of my life, I have missed it so much. And we're only four shows into the tour, but I've just had this unbelievable sense of gratitude. Even on the nights where like everything goes wrong, like the other night in Spokane, we used really cheap batteries for our in-ear monitor packs, and they all died within like 30 minutes of the set. We like all lost our monitors, and it was like so stupid. And normally that would be something that would like really send me spiraling live. And instead it was just like hilarious. And I just was so happy to even be in a situation where that was coming up. If that makes any sense, it's just mm-hmm. this weird perspective now that I have. I guess it sounds cliche, but it's truly just gratitude. Even for the shows that are going badly, I'm really grateful for it.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I think we know exactly how you feel, because I was like dying laughing after I was like, wow, we really just failed our recording. But we're just so excited to be speaking to you. So we're like,
yeah, it definitely puts a different perspective on things that are still really nerve-wracking, but you feel, like, a different relationship with them, so we totally understand as much as non-performers can.
No, of course. I feel like that's something that every human being relates to, and, you know, weirdly, since COVID, one of the things we haven't been able to have is, like, a lot of intimate interactions with people, particularly mm-hmm. strangers. It's helping me to embrace the part of live shows that would always freak me out the most, which is just that human vulnerability of just me being a person in front of all these strangers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, because we've gone without it for so long, I'm able to embrace it more and feel less like frightened at the idea of it and more just like open. So that's been a really nice, that's felt really good. I don't think I could have achieved this in any other way.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Anyway, going back to some of your music experiences, in doing some research, we found some covers that you had put out in the past that, to my knowledge, aren't available widely on streaming services, but I found them on YouTube, and I just loved what I heard, and I was wondering what your relationship is to musical influences and the way that that relates to the music that you produce as a group.
Yeah, so first of all, the reason why a lot of those covers aren't on streaming services is because there weren't streaming services when we made them, because that's how old I am. So that's really weird. But yeah, every cover we've released has been of an artist that's been sort of a like touchstone for us, whether it was like television or broadcast. And most recently, we did a Carpenters cover because I'm obsessed with Karen Carpenter. I love her timbre, and I've also been exploring with singing in my lower register, which is kind of what Karen always did, so that's been really fun for me, and sometimes learning the song of somebody that I admire helps me. It's almost like playing dress-up as them in the moment, and I can kind of, like, I guess, you know, be in their brain and be like, how did they sing the song? If they wrote it, how did they write it and whatever? And it just kind of like adds some nuance for me when I go back writing again. I feel like it just kind of adds some like depth to my own perspective.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's really great to hear that because as listeners, it's really special to hear what an artist that you look up to, like who they look up to and what that music means to them, just like their music mm-hmm. means something to you. And I'm sure you've been the musical inspiration to a lot of other musical groups as well. So it's kind of meta, but it's very interesting to hear.
Oh my God. Okay, well, that's very touching. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, I'm honored.
No, definitely.
It's absolutely true.
Inspirational to us as listeners as well.
Speaking of, like, I guess to go off of that, like, being given inspiration, you've got a track featured in the new season of Rick and Morty called Borrowed Time, which is so beautiful. And so I was asking, I wanted to ask, like, what was the process of writing and recording that like, and, like, being handed inspiration instead of, like, finding it in everyday life?
Yeah, so that was the first time we ever wrote something really specifically for something else where it had to fit, you know, the emotional cues of that scene and it had to kind of belong to those characters. So I tried to write it from Morby's perspective, actually, because the scene is like a little breakup of their friendship, camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And it was a really fun creative exercise. It was a lot harder than I imagined because the constraints of, like, you know, the verse has to be exactly this long before the chorus hits and blah blah blah, really tough to work with, but it was such an amazing exercise and I'm really proud of the way it came out. So happy, in fact, that we now are playing that song live.
That's wonderful. We're really hoping to hear it. We'll be seeing you at Felton Music Hall on Saturday, October 9th.
So soon.
Yeah, seriously. But we're very excited because it's so interesting to hear, you know, your experience with that. And us as listeners, we have definitely loved hearing, you know, our exposure to it.